and maybe Bruce Jenkins. Bruce, how are you?
I'll be there for dessert.
All right, very good. Now, come on, I'll buy you dinner as well. It'll be fun. What do we do with Candlestick? What happens with Candlestick?
Well, they're talking about blowing it up now.
Yeah. Someone had an article yesterday about it. And it's interesting because fans are on both sides of this thing.
Yeah, I'm kind of that way too. I mean, my first instinct is, what the hell? Why not? I mean, it's just a wind-blown patch of nothingness out there where they somehow put a ballpark. But at the same time, my God, I mean, think about Will Clark's single up the middle and, Dwight Clark's catch. And I mean, you could go on and on with the stuff that happened with the Giants and the 49ers there. Now, exactly what they do with it, I don't know. I mean, nobody, certainly, no major league, major sports franchise is going to move in there. It's kind of tough, but I mean, I don't know. I think after maybe a year or two of, some nice memories, that the land could be better put to use.
Yeah, and, people talk about a park or stores or something like that. And I guess that's possible. It's not the greatest area to get to, to go shopping. But someone said they should put a statue up of Dwight Clark in the catch. A statue of Mays or McCovey.
Make it interesting. A lot of Hunter's Point is difficult to access. But, I mean, that particular patch of land, if it was done right with the proper parking and a little bit wider road maybe, is just right off. You can see it from the freeway. So, I mean,
yeah.
It could be something special. I think... to make good use of it into a place that a lot of people would go to for shopping or whatever, could be kind of cool.
Yeah, and still respect the sports action that happened there and the heroes who played
there. Yeah, the statues would be nice. Maybe even a little museum, the Candlestick Sports Museum.
Yeah, someone actually tweeted me about that because I guess there's plaques at the airport. Is that
right?
I'm not sure if that's Bashoff or whatever.
Yeah,
but
that is the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame, which is nice. Yeah.
Well, I will say this. The old Braves field from Boston, I think Boston University made it into a field. That's still. And then, of course, the left field wall at Forbes Field where Mazeroski hit the home run is still there. And it's part of, the University of Pittsburgh or something.
Yeah.
All right, maybe we could make the wall where McCovey hit it over. Maybe keep that or something. All right, what was your take on the game last night, and especially Lincecum? And you and I watched Lincecum quite a bit in spring training.
Yeah, well, I'm not overly concerned about Lincecum, mostly because there was a stretch there, when he struck out the five guys in a row when all of his pitches were great. The changeup was fabulous. The breaking pitches were sharp. Pretty much unhittable stuff. But then all of a sudden he makes a mistake, to the wrong guy. It happened three times, so that's not great. That's not Timmy. And give credit to Arizona; they jumped all over him. I thought the Giants, almost to a man, had pitches they should have hammered right down the pipe, right where they like it, and didn't cash in on them. And these guys, Goldschmidt hit it to Mars. That guy is just awesome. But it's a little worrisome to see him making those kinds of mistakes and having the Giants pay. But just from the standpoint of sheer stuff, he looked like Lincecum an awful lot of the time.
Yeah, somebody compared Goldschmidt to Dave Kingman, that little that uppercut kind of swing.
Yeah. I love the big uppercut. It's going to cost him at times, but that's a great feature to have in your lineup, especially on a winning team.
Yeah, very dramatic, very dramatic. All right, we had a lot of calls this morning. Huff, should they pinch hit for him? And I guess my question to you is, and just as a baseball expert, it's the first game of the season. You take your time in molding your team, and you don't manage like the seventh game of a World Series in day one.
Well, no, I mean, he got in there against Joe Patterson, who was, a side-arming lefty, which you hardly ever see, let alone opening day. And his stuff was just breaking like crazy. He was breaking, from Phoenix to Scottsdale across the plate. But, you can't lose Huff on opening day. You can't tick him off, for over one at bat this early. I mean, he did look a little overmatched. And he had a pretty tough night all around. I mean, the hit that he did get, he tried to pull a pitch that was way outside. He did that twice last night, which is not good hitting, no matter what the result is. And but they're giving him some rope, and they're going to see what he can do. And I think to pinch hit for him right there would be a little bit rude.
I like the matchup of Kirk Gibson and Bruce Bochy. I must tell you. Kirk Gibson, you know, he's just sort of a field manager. You know what I mean? This doesn't feel right to me to do this. I don't care what the book says. I'm doing it my way. And Bochy, a little more traditional.
Yeah, exactly. That is a really interesting matchup. You know, I mean, Gibson, he was a wild, you know, player in his playing days. Did things his own way. There was nobody quite like him. He had his own set of rules, a way to go about things. And meanwhile, it was just like a maniacal, you know, work ethic, right. And it was an incredible thing to watch. You know, Bochy as a player, you know, kind of forgettable, real sturdy, you know, catcher, fundamental guy. You know, played the game right, and then these things, and it's a little, you know, a lot of that comes out in his managing, but. You know, I'd hesitate to say who I think's a better manager. Bochy certainly has done a lot more, but if Arizona comes out of the gate and plays great and inspired and with innovative and against the book, that says a lot for Gibson coming off a world title or coming off a division title.
Yeah, it does. And I don't know. I liked the game last night. I thought it was a hard-nosed, hardball game last night. And I just sort of like the way, I know they didn't, Giants didn't win, but heck, here's Posey at the plate.
Yeah.
What more could you want an opening night?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, go ahead.
He had a couple hits earlier. He could easily have banged that one for a hit.
Right?
I mean, you know, Sandoval got a real clutch hit in the ninth inning there. They're down to their last batter. And most of the guys did a little something that was encouraging, I thought. It was a real good game. Come down to the wire, the Giants put some runs on the board, and, you know, let's go get them in game two.
Yeah, Melky Cabrera, Bruce, I made him the player of the game today for that Santa Rita Wines. But, boy, here he is in the first inning, and he's had it. Again, we sat together for so many games in spring training, and we saw it. We saw him go deep down at Camelback Ranch, I think, from both sides of the plate. And here he is in that first at bat, and he gets a pitch on the outside and just whacks it down the left field line.
Yeah, I don't know how there could be any doubts about the kind of season this guy is going to have now. I mean, he's coming off a great one. It's all about being in shape and motivated for him, and he's both. Then the home run he hit later in the game, I mean, my God, that thing was just scalded.
Yeah.
You don't see a ball like that. And it reminded me of the one he hit from the right side at AT&T and against the A's during the Bay Bridge series. It's just like a surreal kind of bullet. You know, he's doing that from both sides of the plate. I mean, that's a good hitter. I just really think I mentioned in the column today that as much as I like him hitting second. The idea of the two switch hitters who can run at the top is very nice. But you wonder if maybe Cabrera is going to be more valuable hitting, say, fifth.
Well, I think you have to do it at some point. If Huff comes out, and who knows how Huff's season is going to play out, Blanco's got to get a chance.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you start that lineup with Blanco first, Pagan maybe second, and then Sandoval, then Posey, then Cabrera, you flip it over. Like in the ninth inning, here's J.J. Putz, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he comes out in the ninth inning, it's a 5-3 game, and Bochy brings Blanco in to pinch hit. I'm saying to myself, all right, let him get on base, and now flip it over, and somebody can knock it out.
Yeah.
You know, you make a two-run game like a very workable situation if you get a guy on in the ninth inning.
No doubt about it. And I love how Blanco just came right off the bench and stung one for a hit. You know, it's great stuff.
Yeah, very good. Now, you and I talked about this Hector Sanchez situation the other day with Bochy, and I think we both were kind of surprised that Chris Stewart was gone and they went with two catchers. Seventh inning, and again, you don't have to pinch it for Huff at that point. But let's say he walked Crawford in the sixth inning and Lincecum was going to come up and you've seen enough with Lincecum, you want to take him out and maybe you want to put Hector Sanchez in instead of Schuerholz at that point. I don't think he's going to use Hector Sanchez very quickly.
Well, no, I don't either. I mean, you got to think about the catching angle. And the most interesting thing to me is that, I asked Bochy if he really can trust Sanchez's defensive ability right now, because I think there's some doubts about that. And he said, Bochy's the former catcher, and he thinks it's going to work. So I'm most interested to see Sanchez handling the pitchers, and not just Zito.
I mean, yeah, really.
And maybe in a late inning situation where he's catching. So that's, you know, in a wild game with where one mistake can kill you, that's going to be pretty interesting to watch. I basically like the idea. I like the emphasis on offense that's kind of characterized all the moves that they made. And I think it's worth a look.
Yeah, it is. And again, as I say, we joke about together we're giant, together we're patient. Because, you know, and in a week, Hector Sanchez may pinch hit in that mm-hmm. situation, but it didn't happen last night. But it's going to be interesting Monday catching Zito because people are going to get on base.
Yeah.
And they like to run. Mm-hmm. You know, that Eric Young Jr., they have Dexter Fowler can run. You know, they will run at the top of the lineup, and I'll guarantee you they will test Sanchez on Monday. That'll be his first test.
Yeah, and, you know, Zito's not exactly throwing a 95-mile-an-hour heat up there to give Sanchez a little edge. I mean, the fact that the velocity's down hurts it even more. If he throws that breaking ball, he's not going to have a chance if he makes a career throw.
How'd you like the closers sort of coughing it up here the first few days of the season? Valverde, you know, he had 49 in a row. And the great Mariano Rivera, boy, he, you know, and they were not cheap shots off of him either.
Yeah, well, I just hated seeing Valverde come in. I don't care what he did last year. I mean, Verlander throwing 105 pitches. He was just killing him. The game was over. Let him finish it. We just shut you out with Verlander. See you later. But no, you know, 105 pitches. Oh, God, you know, even Leland is fine. And Tom Verducci had a great line, his calm, right, because it happened all over baseball. And he goes, I just can't believe that all 30 teams feel the same way about pitchers and pitch counts, and they're all subscribing to this. When the evidence says that pitchers are getting hurt more than ever, and it just doesn't work.
Boy, funny. But that's, you know, and I said this on the show today, and I don't know if you agree or not, but it's exactly what you just said. They kind of baby pitchers when the season starts. They want to build up that arm strength.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the philosophy behind it. But that's what baseball's turned into. You give me 8 great innings, and I got a closer. I'm bringing them in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with the Phillies in Papelbon, and, you know, Halliday had a gem going, too. And I can kind of see that because, you know, Papelbon's a new guy, and here's a chance for him to close out the game. That, to me, made a little more sense, although I'm sure Halliday was fuming. I mean, he's ready to go 9, you know, in December.
Oh, that's the other one, yeah. He went 8 innings of 2-hit ball, and then they took him out.
Yeah, it's just generally, it's just a terrible thing. I mean, you know, let him start the 9th inning. If 2 guys get on all of a sudden, all right. Let's get a fresh guy in there. But jeez, it's just appalling to me.
Great. All right. Did you see the new Miami Stadium at all? Did you watch that?
Yeah, I did. I'm going to try to watch as many games as I can out of Miami. Of course, they played one and they were out of there. I don't know what that's all about. But I found it really interesting that the park is so big. I mean, it, you know, it's colorful and it, you know, it looks like a basket of fruit and it's lime green and.
There's South Beach.
Yeah, there's literally a band playing and a pulsating music from a nightclub outside the left field fence the entire game. you know, which is all very Miami, and I'll give them that. But the park is enormous. I mean, it's just one game, and the roof was open, which it's not going to be most of the time. But Giancarlo, formerly Mike Stanton, hit 2 bombs to center field. This is talk about Dave Kingman or Paul Goldschmidt. This guy's got as much power as anybody. And the balls were caught. And then Lance Berkman of the Cardinals, who were in town, said that's just not right. You've got to make this park a little more conducive to hitting. And I agree. And my take is, you know, this is a place, Miami, where the fans have never come out. Now you've got a little bit of a festive party atmosphere, and it's wild and crazy in Miami. Do you really want it to be 1-0? I mean, you and I love that kind of game, but I think in that setting, they'd be better off with a bandbox and everybody just going crazy.
Boy, I agree. I grew up there, and believe me, it's a football town.
Yeah.
And you've got to convince the baseball people to come out, and offense sells down there. I'll guarantee you that. Just as a last thought for you, Bruce Jenkins with us, I appreciate him being here. Did you have a different feel about the club last night after just watching the game as opposed to last year?
Well, yeah, I really did. I thought there's just the potential for scoring, I think. I've kind of felt this all spring. I just think it's just so much better. I mean, you see Cabrera just hit one out. You see Sandoval making good contact. Posey with a couple hits. Crawford with a productive at-bat. The better look at the top. It's for the one game, I mean, they didn't win the game. But, I mean, just as the game unfolded, I was – kind of heartened by, you know, the way the attack looked, and I think it's going to be a different year in that regard.
Boy, absolutely. Bruce, thanks so much, and let's see what happens today, game two. It'll be 160 to go after today.
Okay.
We'll and see. We'll check in tomorrow with you, 11 a.m.
All right. Thanks, Marty.
All right. Thank you. Bruce Jenkins, always a pleasure to talk ball with him.